finally, I want to thank God because God gave me this Dundee and I feel God in this Chili's tonight.
Come in, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss and Nick here with you once again, fresh off a dub victory Monday. Before we get into it, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. Let's jump into it. Giants with a win in the playoffs. I told you it was never in doubt. It was a certainty. It was, let's figure out where we're playing the NFC Championship game. The Eagles are toast. I am just all sorts of jacked up. We'll talk about the game. We'll talk about the Giants prospects going forward. Weiss, I'm going to start with you because you were actually at the game. And my first question for you is, do you at all feel moronic for thinking that MetLife Stadium is at all a good stadium or a beautiful stadium after visiting the Vikings home arena, which is, I mean, compared to MetLife, it's like, it's a Mona Lisa. It's like, it's the Eiffel Tower versus a Section 8 projects. It's like night and day, how much more beautiful that stadium is than MetLife. And you were in there. So please, right your wrongs right now.
Before I do, I just want to say congratulations. This is our first episode that we're doing for a playoff victory.
Is that true? Oh, playoff victory. Yes, it is true. Because I think our first season was was it the McAdoo?
Our first season was 2015. We did.
15, okay.
Then the following year was the playoff year.
Right.
But just want to congratulate you on that, Nick, you as well. The stadium is amazing.
The team that plays in there, not so much.
Yeah.
But the stadium, beautiful.
The stadium it's a beautiful stadium. It's the first European-style stadium built in America, and it's built right in the Twin Cities because after that came SoFi and Allegiant.
Yeah, yeah.
And then down the road, but it is a beautiful stadium. They got a great setup. It is a true home field advantage, by the way, too. The way they got the seats set up, and the whole chanting and that fucking Viking sound that I just gives me a headache every time I hear it, which, by the way, they play it way too much. I mean, the kicker runs out of the tunnel to warm up and they play in the Viking sound. I mean, it's insane. But it is a beautiful stadium. And I got to say, people from the Midwest, and I'll go more into detail in it later, are some of the nicest people I ever met in my life.
They are.
They are. There is something about the Midwest that makes you just want to go back. But yeah, US Bank Stadium is that what it's called? Beautiful stadium.
Yeah.
And I recommend people to go check it out one day if they can.
All right. Well, we'll hear about your travels. And for context, for those who hadn't listened to the past two episodes, Weiss went to the game, flew out, fresh off a game of spades and 3 hours of sleep with a cold, hopped on a plane, went to Minnesota, and was there with LPG for a playoff victory. So, that was actually pretty good that you hit. I didn't hear a cough at all. Oh. So let's talk about the game. Daniel Jones, we have to start with Daniel Jones. It's only right. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Daniel Jones is the Giants quarterback. Listen, I understand the criticisms. I understand where you can pick and choose and discredit, and you know the Vikings defense is really bad and the Giants really just took what they got. I don't care. I really don't. Daniel Jones set a career high in passing yards this season, a career low in interceptions this season, career high in rushing yards this season, career high in rushing touchdowns this season. He did it with a bunch of steakhouse valets playing wide receiver, interior offensive line, tight end. He did it in a new offense with a new coaching staff, and I get it. They're absolutely fucking incredible, and we'll talk about them, and then we will proceed to shit on Mike Kafka for the opposing teams that are listening and want to hire him as their head coach fresh off of this performance. But I do not care at this point. He did not have his fifth year option picked up. He went out there with an awful, awful supporting cast, and he just got the job done. And if you look around, and sure, like, he's got Andrew Thomas, that's great. He has Evan Neal, didn't have a good season. High pick, but he didn't have a good season. The interior offensive line, like, all these guys are going to be replaced in the next season or two. He had Isaiah Hodgins, fresh off a practice squad. Darius Slayton, who was written off to start the year. Kenny Golladay, who is getting paid $72 million for one touchdown and one really good block, which we'll get into. But he has defied everything. And against all expectations, including mine, I mean, there were certainly those out there who were harsher critics than myself, but I was a critic. I did not believe, I thought the writing was on the wall as soon as they didn't pick up his fifth year option and that Dable and Shane were going to want to go out there and they were going to want to get their guy. Daniel Jones became their guy. And now the number one question is, can he win another playoff game? And the second question is, what's the contract going to look like? Because it's not an if, it's a when and a how much. And it really sucks. It blows that the Giants wasted his rookie window, but it is comforting to know that at least we think that we've got our guy for the next five seasons or for however long the next contract extension is. And they can improve on this roster. I mean, he did very well this season with so many mediocre and just flat out bad pieces around him. And he got the job done. Let's let Joe Shane build around him and let's see what he can do. He was awesome. You can tell that the team loves him, that Dable has really grown to love him. It's awesome, man. I'm really happy for him. I'm happy for Giants fans. I'm happy for those who can now go around and say, hey, I told you so. I'll eat crow, admit when I'm wrong. Daniel Jones is that guy, pal. So, I mean, start with there and give him his flowers, give him his snaps, give him whatever. He was incredible. Good for him.
He dictated the game. The game went through him. When the Giants were in any kind of situation where there's a difficult play, where the heat pressure was coming up on him, he would step up in the pocket. He found guys downfield, and if it wasn't there, he was gone. He wasn't taking that extra beat, waiting for the play to develop. If there was even a slight lane for him to step up and run the ball, he was out. That was it. And it's been really refreshing that this coaching staff was able to tap into something that was there. This guy has been there internally. The tools have always been there to be a good player. It's just he hasn't been in an environment to succeed. And the fact that he's been able to succeed in this environment with, like Ethan said, guys who the Giants were trying to give away, like Darius Slayton, Kenny Golladay, who is a non-factor on this team, Isaiah Hodgins, who the Bills waived and probably could use, in all honesty. When you think about how impressive it's been for that, and they can do anything with a guy with this type of toolbox. You saw it yesterday. They were saying, okay, we're going to have designed runs in these situations because the Vikings are going to be dropping. They're going to be trying to play coverage. They want to play that no doubles defense. I mean,
the coverage, their linebackers were like fucking 25 yards back from the line of scrimmage. Mike Zimmer was probably rolling over in his metaphorical grave.
It was insane. The Giants dictated that entire game, and Jones playing so well made everybody else so much more dangerous. I felt like any time Saquon touched the ball, he could have housed one because the defense was so out of whack. That defense was on its heels the entire game because of how good Daniel Jones had played.
Yeah, listen, guys, you guys nailed it. And I'm going to try not to repeat what you guys said, but listen, Daniel Jones, 24 of 35, 301, two passing touchdowns, 78 rushing yards on 17 attempts. It was actually 14, but he had the two kneel downs. You see rookie quarterbacks in their first playoff games, and it's jitters and it's nervousness, and they get tight and they try to win the game when the on every play. This was one of the more impressive playoff debuts I've seen since I've watched football. By a young quarterback.
Since Brock Purdy.
Yeah. Brock Purdy. You felt in that stadium after the first two touchdown drives that the Vikings knew that they just didn't have an answer for Daniel Jones, because when they felt like they had him in the pocket, he would get out of the pocket and run for 15 yards. He would make throws. There were open receivers. the mental fortitude of a quarterback to overcome what Daniel Jones has overcome in his first 4 years, and not even just the multiple coaches, but the toxic environment of this organization, and him to come out of it, and, you know, all credit go, I mean, you got to give credit to Brian Daboll, but for him to get out of all that
something I never thought I'd say, credit to John Mara, because he was right. He was absolutely right. We've done everything in our power to make it so that this kid screws up. I don't know what the verbatim quote is, but that was
That's pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah. We've done everything in our power to screw this kid. And now we're going to try to help him.
Yeah. And it is a remarkable playoff experience. You just want to tip your cap to number 8 because he was phenomenal. He was sensational. He was remarkable. He was just a beautiful thing to see. And one of the best playoff performances of a Giant quarterback, in my opinion.
Fine dining and breathing.
Yeah.
Football and beers.
Just a great performance. And what makes the Giants, in my opinion, so dangerous going forward is because they have this dynamic quarterback who can beat you with his legs. Daniel Jones can win a football game with his legs. He can throw for 100 yards, but he'll have 100-yard rushing. He can beat you that way. And that's what makes him so dynamic. And then we'll talk about the rest of the offense. But Saquon Barkley, you could feel it from the get-go. He was running like an angry man. And he had games like that this year where you saw like this anger in him. But the real anger I saw is when he ran over Dalvin Tomlinson to score that touchdown, and he got in Dalvin Tomlinson's face. Now, Dalvin Tomlinson's one of the nicest guys, you know, that's in the NFL, and he's a former Giant. But you just saw this anger and this viciousness from Saquon Barkley where it was a lot of pelt-up anger.
That yeah, I was going to say 4 years of shit.
Yeah, and he let it out. And look, you got to tip your cap to these Giants. And Brian Daboll, man, when Brian Daboll and Joe Shane got here, right, you know, we did that podcast and we talked about, okay, year one, you bite the bullet, you got uncertainty, you get the high draft kick, the quarterback, blah, 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 right? And then by year two, you're competitive and you hit the rookie wall, you got the rookies playing, and then year three of this era of this, excuse me, this regime, you're competing for the playoffs, right? They're competing for a Super Bowl right now. The New York Giants are 2 wins away from a Super Bowl. The way I look at it, Super Bowl competing teams are teams that get to the second weekend of the playoffs. If you're one of those teams on the second weekend of the playoffs, you're playing for a Super Bowl, in my opinion.
Just get in.
I don't know how you guys define it, but I feel like if you get to the divisional round, you're one of the final 8 teams, you're playing for a Super Bowl. And the Giants are contending for a Super Bowl. As crazy as that might sound, but we sit here today and they're contending for a Super Bowl, and they have a quarterback who every single week gets better, and every single week it just seems like that ceiling goes up and up and up of what he can be. And I was watching the Bills game at the stadium, and I was watching Josh Allen, and I was thinking to myself, I said, the Bills really miss Brian Daboll. I mean, if you watch their
offense, it really feels like, and I have not followed the AFC that closely over the last few weeks. I've not followed the Bills particularly closely. And Nick and Weiss, you can tell me if I'm wrong here. It just feels like over the last 6 weeks, every single game that they've been involved in has been a dogfight, regardless of whether or not they are the clearly superior team.
They have issues. They
do.
Josh Allen turns the ball over way too
much. It's part of the reason Joe Burrow, that's all I'm saying. I think but that's a conversation for later.
So I'm thinking to myself, Daboll went there, and we know the work he did with Josh Allen. Josh Allen is an incredibly talented quarterback. I'm not taking anything away from him. But when Daboll leaves Buffalo and comes to the Giants, we see Daniel Jones sort of take this next step or two or three, four steps. And Josh Allen, on the other hand, there's an element to his game now where he's turning the ball over at an alarming rate to the point where they almost lost that game yesterday to the Dolphins. They almost lost that game. That game should not have been close. So all credit to Brian Daboll, to the coaching staff, Mike Kafka, and we'll get all into it, but just an amazing, amazing job that they've done. And when you think about what's your thought, I really want you to think about what your thought process was coming into this year, right? And then factor everything that happened with the entire rookie class missing time or being out for the season to all these guys that they sign up off the streets who come in, Lawrence Cager and Fabian Moreau and Isaiah Hodgins, right? And to where they are now in the divisional round of the playoffs. I mean, it's a remarkable story. And it's an amazing story. And for Daniel Jones, again, to go into that hostile environment in his first career playoff game and absolutely dominate, you just got to tip your cap.
You do.
The coaching was outstanding. I was looking at this because I forgot whose column I read. I think it might have been I think it was Dan's, but I'm not positive. But one of the things he wrote about that I found really interesting was the first time they played Minnesota, they only had four designed runs for Daniel Jones the whole game. He only had four rushing attempts in that game. Yesterday, he had eight. They saw something the first time these two teams played and said, okay, we didn't put this on tape against them the last time. We're going to be able to do stuff off of this. And the same thing is going to be against Philadelphia this upcoming weekend. And we'll talk about that later in the week. But it feels really nice to know that you're not automatically behind the eight ball every week because you have a dumb fuck for a coach.
Yeah,
it's been so long.
Coaching is the great equalizer in the playoffs. There, in the regular season, you can get by with big talent advantages. We've seen it time and time again. Come playoff time, coaching is the great equalizer. And Nick, you brought up a good point. I mean, that's just one really good example of coaching being the great equalizer. And I was thinking about this today, actually, and I'm curious what you guys think. I know we're not even done with year one of Brian Daboll, but given what we've seen, I really think, and bear with me here, because I know that he hasn't, that the guy I'm about to compare him to maybe hasn't had, like, by like metric wise, like the level of success that he probably should, but just in terms of consistency and how he's regarded and how he is always able to get the most out of his players. All right, Weiss, you want to guess? Because you think I know who I'm talking about.
Kyle Shanahan.
No.
No.
I was going to say Vrabel.
Okay.
Yeah.
He has the Titans in it every year. He had to deal with quarterback injuries this year. He had him in it until the last week. He's GM wise, he doesn't have a GM that can stack up to what we've seen from Joe Shane in year one. Just a guy like coach of the year winner. He's a guy. Like, people love playing for this guy. People love playing for Daboll. He can get the most out of less talent. We've seen Daboll do that. Like, I really do think that in like a year or so, I mean, Daboll might, you know, if he gets a Super Bowl in the next two or three years, he will be in much higher regard. But just in terms of like the vibe that I'm getting, like, I am getting Vrabel vibes, and that's a good thing because Vrabel is one of the best coaches in the league consistently. And I truly believe that he's one of the few, very few, that give you an advantage on a weekly basis. I know, Nick, we joke about this all the time. Like, there are how many 32 NHL teams and probably three coaches that actually make a difference in the NFL. Vrabel is one of the few guys that makes a difference, and Daboll is right there with him as well.
And it's interesting that they're both Belichick guys, but they're Belichick guys that don't try to act like Belichick.
Exactly.
Which I think is a big part of this, in that you saw it yesterday. Like, we think when Slayton had that really bad drop, Daboll took his headset off, gave it to someone, walked over and said, "Hey dude, we need you. Stay locked in, pay attention. You're going to be on the field this next series. We're going to need you." And we've seen him at points throwing shit on the sidelines, screaming at the top of his lungs. Daboll understands that everybody is a little bit different, and there is no my way or the highway in this.
Correct.
Everybody needs to be coached in their own way.
It's not one size fits all.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's a great point, is that he's the one consistent thing about him is that he treats players differently, but in a good way. Like, he's not going to yell. Like, he knows certain guys will react to tough love, you know, being tough on him, yelling at him on the sidelines. And he knows some guys, you need to put your arm around them. You need to, like, you know, nurture them. And that's, and there's nothing wrong with either one, but just the fact that, you know, there's a huge human element to this. Like, outside of the X's and O's, he's a brilliant X's and O's guy. I mean, we've seen the X's and O's with this offense, but his ability to really bring the human element to the forefront, where guys just really want to go out and play for him, and the environment and the culture that he's created, it is a driving force to what this amazing run has been about for the Giants.
Oh, he's instilled so much confidence in this group too. You think about going for that fourth and one down in the red zone in a tie game, where most coaches take the field goal, we'll say we'll try and play defense. We've done a good job in the second half. We've had Kirk kind of out of sorts most of this game, but he said we can get this, and they had a perfect play set up for it, and they hit it. And then the last drive of the game where they had the ball, and it was, okay, let's put this game away. Let's get this first down, and that's it. And he said, okay, let's do it. Confidence, the confidence he's instilled in guys who don't have great track records, who may or maybe thought they were at the end of the road in their careers. The fact that they've gotten so much out of this group is just a testament to how motivating and how much confidence matters. Like, we try to reduce it to talent, but confidence can make up some of that talent gap, which has been the case for the Giants most of this season.
Agreed. It's on coaching.
Yeah. It's on coaching. He went for it on fourth and one from his own 45.
That was an easy decision.
Easy decision.
Yeah.
By the way, Daniel Jones is a big motherfucker.
Yeah, he is.
Seeing him warm up, he was one of the biggest guys. Like, obviously the D tackles and the linemen, the linebackers are huge, but this motherfucker is big, dude. Like, when he sees DBs or safeties, he puts that shoulder down and he's bigger than them. There were many times.
Not even close, he's bigger than them. He's huge.
My goodness. I was sitting with a Viking fan. He's like, your quarterback, how tall is he? I was like, he's like 6'5", 6'6". 230, 240. He's like, damn, that's a big motherfucker. I was like, yeah. and he's jacked too. Like, he's ripped. Like, I mean, listen, I wasn't like checking him out like that, but I'm just saying, like, he's a built motherfucker, man. And I can see why you would want to have him run. And he's fast too. He's not slow.
No.
You know, he
deceptively fast, the broadcast said.
Yeah. I saw your tweet, by the way.
Yeah, it's true, though. It's true. Deceptive athleticism. He's white.
Yeah. Basically.
Freak athlete. He's black. This is just how people describe him.
If he was black, they'd say, you know, they
wouldn't like play tight end.
No. If he was black, they'd say, we don't want him running. He's going to get injured, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's true.
Anyways, with the stuff Dable has done, it's just remarkable. And with the quarterback, it's just in showing. Daniel Jones has immense confidence. His confidence is through the roof, and it's beautiful, man. That game was amazing.
Yeah. All right, let's hear about your travels before we briefly discuss the Eagles.
I want to talk about the defense real quick.
Sure.
Dexter Lawrence,
beast.
Whew! I don't know if people put him there yet, but he's entered that Aaron Donald level. Now, hear me out. Hear me out.
Extended period of time, then you can
hear it. I'm hearing you out, but you're wrong. But I'm hearing you out.
Aaron Donald has done it longer.
Yes.
Obviously, right?
How about this? I'll give you. He's Vince Wilfork with a pass rush.
No. Dexter Lawrence, I think he's a lot faster than Vince.
With a pass rush.
He is into that Aaron Donald level. The problem is he hasn't done it for an extended period of time. But he was dominant in this game.
Yeah.
When they were saying Garrett Bradbury's playing is huge for the Vikings. Let me tell you something. Garrett Bradbury, James Bradbury, Bill Bradbury. Dexter Lawrence was pushing him back. And he would touch Kirk Cousins. And I'm not saying Kirk Cousins was flopping, but Kirk Cousins would go flying 5 yards. Like, there was a time period where Kirk Cousins just like, you would see Kirk take the hit and he would get up and he would like he would try to make sure his body's still intact because like Dexter Lawrence was just killing him.
It's like it's like in a cartoon when you got a fat kid and someone runs into their belly and they just like go flying. Yeah. That's what it was like. Anytime Lawrence would touch him.
That roughing the passer penalty almost made me lose.
Let's talk
my
about
shit.
It. I think we've spoken about this. The NFL.
I don't complain about the refs anymore. That's my
No. This is for every team. I've been tweeting about this since October.
Yes.
Roughing the passer needs to be a reviewable penalty.
That would be a terrible idea.
No, it wouldn't be. And it needs to be reviewable in the opposite of the way that pass interference was reviewable. Because the only reason the NFL made pass interference reviewable was to appease the Saints and appease the owners. And it was really like, okay, we're going to let them challenge it. But Mr. Stripes, you're just going to tell them that they're wrong every time. This is so clear cut and dry. There is no gray area, in my opinion. All these awful calls this season have been very obviously awful. Very obviously awful. And you need to let these be overturned. You have to. Because, and I'm not talking about the Giants won, all right? And had the Giants lost, we wouldn't even be talking about the roughing passer. We would be talking about Darius Slayton. Yeah. Correct. That's what I'm saying. We'd be talking about Darius Slayton. We wouldn't be talking about roughing the passer. There have been games this season that have been altered by egregious and obviously wrong roughing the passer calls. Needs to be reviewed, hands down. Needs to be.
The thing about roughing the passer, much like pass interference, is there's so much gray area.
I disagree.
It's how they define it. You can look at the language, hit to the head.
Because with pass interference, there's constant, like, incidental contact. There's hand fighting. There's contact initiated by the offensive player, too. Like, I can see where there is gray area.
There's language in the rule book with roughing the passer that says contact to the head or neck area of a quarterback. Dexter Lawrence made contact to the head or neck area. Now, he wasn't trying to tackle Kirk Cousins by the head or the neck area. He went for a tackle. Kirk Cousins ducked his head and made contact with Dexter Lawrence's ginormous arm. But that's what I'm saying is, like, there's
the language. They fixed that in college with targeting.
I know, but what I'm saying,
you could just adjust the language. Common sense.
There needs to be adjusting of the language. That's a different topic. But if you make it reviewable, they will find a way to make the call stand. And if, let's just say it was reviewable, let's say the Giants wanted to review that call. Well, by the letter of the law, it is roughing the passer because Dexter Lawrence made contact to the head or neck area of Kirk Cousins. What I'm saying is they need to redefine these rules so there isn't that gray area.
That's fine, but you're still going to need the review.
That's sure, but to fix
both are true. Both are right.
We adjust the language and make it reviewable because this shouldn't fine. Be this but should just, not be like these are game changing plays.
That was a life preserver. If they get off the field there, that's the game more or less.
100%.
Yeah. But thankfully, Kirk Cousins threw short of the sticks, which
what a dumbass.
Mind boggling that I see people trying to defend that. I mean, this. Anyways,
I tweeted about it. Like, I don't care that Dexter Lawrence got through. You're an 11-year NFL vet. You have to know better in that situation. You chuck it up and pray.
Yeah,
Kirk Cousins is a man of God. You chuck it up and pray, Kirk.
Throw it up to Justin Jefferson. The Giants, the adjustment they made with how they covered Justin Jefferson was so evident after the first quarter.
Yeah,
I think he had the majority of his yards in the first quarter.
And he did.
He only had one catch in the second half.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think most of it was on the first drive, even.
Correct. Yeah, he had four targets on the first drive.
That is coaching, and that is Adoree Jackson.
One of the things I was reading about was this is the most zone the Giants have played in any game, and the least they blitzed in any game this entire season. That was a conscious effort.
Yeah,
yeah, listen, just getting heat with Dex. Just get heat with Dex.
Dex and Kayvon.
That's all you need. Bro, can Kayvon get a call, please? Just once?
Every play he's held. Every play.
Every single play.
It's unbelievable. Every single play. But he's great. I mean, he was getting pressure. Dex was getting pressure. Again, like this conversation goes back a few episodes ago. They want to spend a high pick, a premium pick on a pass rusher. God bless. Do it, because Azeez can't stay healthy. He's injured every other game. Yeah, it's unfortunate. But listen, we know what he can do as a pure pass rusher. If you want to make him the third guy in that rotation, that is a nice luxury to have. And I would be very pro that.
Yeah, that really hurt me. The Vikings, another great thing they do in the stadium is they'll make a big announcement. You know, so-and-so, you know, they got this great graphic of like, it's like this WebMD type shit where they'll have a human body and they'll point to the area that he's injured and be like, he's out for the game. Awesome. And I saw it. I'm like, oh man, this sucks. And I was like, I just have to come to the grips of reality that Azeez is just going to be a guy that's going to have these neck and neck injuries, because as much as I love him and I think he can be a great player, the injuries are piling up and it sucks. But yeah, it was an awesome, awesome, awesome game. I can't even explain to you guys the adrenaline rush that I was feeling. But I'll break it all down for you guys for a second. You guys have anything else for the game? You want to talk?
No.
By the way, your boy Graham Gano, this motherfucker just kicks field goals. Ludacris. Ludacris is
singing. That's his job.
Ludacris is performing at halftime on the other side of the field. Graham Gano's on the other side, like nodding his head, like, yeah, Ludacris, right? And then he's just kicking field goals.
You don't become the best kicker in Giants history by not putting in the work.
Yo, Viking is doing their whole skull and, you know, that damn horn shit. Get Graham Gano. Hey, 25 yards, 35. I mean, all he does is kick field goals.
I'm a little, part of me is like a little upset the Vikings didn't score that a touchdown on the last drive, because then the game would have been on Graham Gano's foot. And I would have exploded if they 60-yard field goal send the Giants to Philadelphia. Oh, my God. I would have exploded.
All Graham Gano does is just kick field goals.
He's a beast. Best kicker in Giants history.
What he does is that he's like, okay, hostile, loud music, crowd, horns.
He channels.
Let me just use this. Anyway, so I told you guys last week, I was like, I'm going to Minnesota, and I was planning all this thing out. And then Monday, my wife got sick. I was like, okay, this is what's going on here. I was like, take a COVID test, right? Because she was like, I'm having body aches. I took a COVID test. It was negative. By the way, it's been like 3 years. We don't have like accurate COVID tests yet.
Nope.
What's going on? Anyways, this is a different discussion, right? Tuesday comes around. It's just even worse. Oh, so Monday evening, I booked my stuff and I was like, hey, honey, you know, I booked my ticket. She's like, I'm sick. I'm like, okay. I'm just letting you know I booked my stuff. She's like, okay. And I was supposed to go with Snacks. I told you guys that. But he couldn't make it. So anyways, so I was like,
Howard,
book my stuff. Tuesday comes. She wakes up. Or actually, this is Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday she wakes up not feeling good. Took a test, positive, boom. Take your ass to the basement, quarantine time. I'm like, oh, shit, right? And then I'm like, oh, the baby definitely has to have COVID, right? Because with the mom the whole time. I'm like, oh, man, this is not good, right? I didn't fucking get the insurance on the flight or the ticket. I'm like, this is bad. I'm going to get COVID. Thursday, Friday go along, I'm good. Saturday, I start to feel like an itchy throat. Saturday morning. By the way, Saturday morning, my wife tests again, negative, boom. Quarantine over, come upstairs. Took two tests. All right, come upstairs. Saturday, I get an itchy throat. And what's going on? This is not good. Took a COVID test, negative. Started doing the NyQuil, DyQuil, every kind of fucking quill there is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing all of it. I'm like, I cannot get sick. Took another COVID test at night. I'm negative. Boom, went out. It wasn't that bad. I was like, all right, I'm going out. Went out, played spades all night. About 2, 3 a.m., I get up, want some money on Trevor Lawrence, which, by the way, Ethan, thank you.
Oh, you can thank Brandon Staley for that.
Thank you.
Generational collapse.
Want some good money on that. Want some good money on spades. Great nights. Come home. I'm like, I got to wake up at 5. It's about 2, 3 a.m. Let me take a quick power nap. And I was going with my brother-in-law, too. My brother-in-law, I told him, I was like, hey, you want to go to the game? He's always ready. He wants to go see these different type of stadiums around the country. These beautiful stadiums like, you know, U.S. Bank and SoFi and Arlington, Texas, East Rutherford, New Jersey, these beautiful stadiums.
Disgust me.
So anyways, goes wake up Sunday morning. I'm like, this is not good. I'm starting coughing. I got the nose. Every time I cough, I feel like my head's falling off. I'm like, this is bad. Take another COVID test. Negative. I'm like, let's go. Hop on the plane. Apparently, if you're sick or congested and you hop on a plane and your ear pops, it takes like a fucking day for the ear to unpop.
What is it? Amateur hour? How you didn't know this?
I did not know that.
Like, oh my God. It's
my left ear is still fucking like I'll tell you guys a funny story.
Good luck. It might be stuck that way.
So we get to Minnesota, we get to the hotel, tell the lady. Lady's like, hey, your room's not ready. I'm like, listen, lady, I feel like shit. Like, I need a room. I need a bed. Like,
you ASAP. Can't do
like 6 a.m. flight. Like, and then the hour difference. I'm like, listen, I'm just, and just give me something. She's like, okay. She can see it in my face that I'm just like fucked up. So she's like, okay, let's go. And luckily my brother-in-law's a nurse, so he goes, gets the medicine, got me a bunch of shit, like this emergency drink thing, and did it all, took a nap, woke up, felt really good. Head off to a diner to watch the Bills game. Watched it a little bit. Let's go to the stadium. I had club seats too. Get to the stadium. Beautiful stadium. We talked about it, right? I'm in line to get inside, right? There's a guy in front of me. And I told you guys this in text. He turns to me. He's like, oh, you guys are Giant fans? And a part of me wanted to be like, no, we're just a bunch of assholes wearing Giant jerseys. I was like, yeah, we're a Giant fans. Great observation. He's like, oh, do you know this guy? And I'm like, which guy? He's like, okay, 1 second. So he whips out his phone. That's just a true story. I will show anybody the picture who doesn't believe me. And he FaceTimes Derek Ward, Giant running back. I'm like, yeah, I know that guy. That's Derek Ward. Derek Ward picks up and, you know, what's up, Giants, yada, yada. I'm like, hey, man, what's up? You know, I could barely hear him. I mean, it's loud as shit. And then I'm like, that's so random. How do you know Derek Ward? He's like, oh, he's my friend. I'm like, okay, whatever. I also got Michael Strahan's number. And then my brother-in-law goes, oh, you should call him. And he's like, well, he's working right now. I'm like, I'm like, he's not saying, like, he's just saying, like, you know, like. And then he's like, so my brother-in-law has a Lawrence Taylor jersey on, right? So then he goes, oh, do you know this guy? And he shows a picture of him, like a screenshot of him FaceTiming Lawrence Taylor.
Who is this guy?
I have no idea. So I have a theory, but it's kind of fucked up. I don't want to say it.
Yes.
I feel like he was...
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
So he's like a young guy, right? He's like an old guy. He was like a young guy. He's probably in his like 20s, early 30s. And like...
Rhymes with Schmug Schmueler.
No. I feel like
allegedly.
So like, you know, ESPN used to do these things with the kids meeting athletes, you know, and they would send a limo and pick them up and they would like sign.
You're talking about the Make-A-Wish kids?
Yes.
Oh, you think he's a Make-A-Wish kid?
I thought he was, yeah.
Okay.
Bro, he had all these athletes' number in his phone.
I don't know. Maybe his dad is someone. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be my safest guess. Yeah,
and he was decked out in starter gear too.
Ooh, yeah,
yeah. Like
this guy's. You're probably in line behind like Ziggy Wolf's son.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he wasn't Ziggy Wolf's son. He wasn't like that. He wasn't like you
grandson. I mean, Ziggy Wolf's old, right?
Well, first of all, yeah. Why is he waiting in line? He wasn't that. I legitimately think he was. A Make-A-Wish kid. But anyways, so he's like, you know this guy. I'm like, dude, you show me a picture of Derek Ward. And I knew Derek Ward. You're going to show me a picture of Lawrence Taylor and act like I don't know. Come on, right. Man. Like, anyways. So we get inside. I mean, their club section is just fucking amazing. I mean, they got big-ass TVs everywhere. I mean, it was legit. It was a legit club section. Game starts. Listen, people from Minnesota are some of the nicest people. They're loud. But they are... legitimately just amazing people, and they shouldn't be, because like Minnesota has been like a shit, like they are just like known for like letting their fan base down, but these people are so nice. End of the game, they're coming up to you, good game, you know, like good luck against Philly. Like I kid you not, I had more people that shook my hand after the game than people at the Giants game that celebrated with me when we clinched the playoff spot. I mean, they were like, oh, good luck against Philadelphia. I'm like, yeah.
They hate the Eagles too, Weiss.
There were two instances where a guy, so they had like booklets on the chairs, on the stadium seats for people. And he took the booklet and he threw it at me. And I turned around and his friend, before I could even say something to him, his friend's like trying to fight him. Like, how could you do that? You know, like, why are you doing that? And he's like, I'm sorry, man. I'm like, that's all right. So I was sitting like 20 rows behind where LPG was sitting. I went down, gave him a nice hug. You know, I still feel like shit, but it's just the adrenaline kicking in. We cut that nice promo.
That was a nice promo.
That was a great fucking promo right
there. Great promo.
And it was great.
You don't look sick at all in that video.
No.
I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
Do you guys think Steve Tisch knew the Giants were in a playoff game yesterday?
There was a
you know what, that's actually hilarious, because the only thing that makes sense as to why he would release that statement is like the Giants had a successful season but like didn't make the playoffs. Like, well, like who's asking for Steve Tisch's comment after? Like, bizarre. You're right. That's a great point. He was probably drunk as shit and didn't realize it was a playoff game. Like, he probably thought that was like the last regular season game or something like that.
They took their victory lap.
Yeah,
big time.
Yeah. At least they waited to win a playoff game and not beat the Panthers in the regular season.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. So overall, great experience. A lot of Giant fans made the trip. Every time you turn the corner, there's like six Giant fans. Hey, go Giants. I'm like, holy shit, man. A lot of Giant fans. Minnesota fans were very nice. Had a great conversation with a Minnesota Viking fan coming out. He's like, all the credit in the world to Daniel Jones, but Ed Donatelle, the defensive coordinator, he's like, this motherfucker's got to go. You know, yeah, Kirk Cousins. He's like, I like Kirk, but we got to get, you know, we got to get a young quarterback in here trying to develop. I said, hey, I mean, I don't feel your pain.
It's one way for Kevin O'Connell to extend his window.
Yeah.
Like,
get a rookie quarterback and get a new defensive coordinator.
And oh, by the way, the temperature was the same, like D.C. and Minnesota was like mid-30s. But, bro, it is a different type of cold over there. Like, I was telling the guy, Uber driver, I'm like, yo, it's so cold. He's like, no, this is a nice day today. This is the day you go out and do, like, yard work.
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah, anytime it's not -5
in
Minnesota.
They said on the news, too, like, after the Bengal game in the hotel room, the news was like, oh, we had a great sunny day today. You know, it's like, what the fuck? The hotel I stayed at, the Rand Hotel in Minneapolis, dude, they had like 55-inch TVs in the room.
Damn.
And they got the way it's mounted, you could like pull it out and like face it toward one of the bed. Like, it is.
Yeah, I got that in my office right here. You can't see because it's blurred, but
it was a great trip.
Which I don't know how to turn off, by the way.
Great trip.
But
I didn't have one Viking fan try to talk shit to me. Not one.
That's how it goes. They're nice people.
Hey, they've been through.
Next week is going to be a different story.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I got
next
a lot
week.
Of people...
Next week's going to be death threats.
Saturday's going to be rough. A Saturday night game in Philadelphia. Yeah. You are going to let the Philly degenerates drink for 12 hours and then go into a game. Yep. That's going to be rough. I would not go if I was a Giant fan.
Well, I might go.
Yeah, gotta bring the mojo.
I got a bunch of DMs from people talking about, you got to go. I'm like, you know, we always win when you go. I'm like, listen, buddy, I went to the Colts game. You know, like, they would have won if I didn't go to that game. And then, you know, this Viking game, I was like, I'm contemplating going. It is a Saturday game. It's only 2 hours away. But, yeah, not nice people there.
No, not at all.
But, you know, I keep thinking to myself, the pros and cons, right? Pros, obviously you win. And that feeling. The Eagles have been a thorn in the Giants' side. Like, let's face it, they've been our daddies for a better part of a decade, right?
Yeah.
If we eliminate them, there will be a side of me that you guys have never seen before in your life.
I bet. I don't doubt it for a second.
He's going to cut a full WWE promo on Monday if they beat the Eagles. He's going to come in here talking like he's The Rock. I'm scared.
If I'm at the game and we eliminate the Eagles, I'm probably either going to be murdered or arrested.
You're going to end up on the no-fly list.
Yeah.
If I go. And I'm not somebody that talks shit. I just a lot of silent fist bumps, a lot of let's go. I'm not somebody that likes to, you know,
yeah,
do all that. But
anyway. Should we wrap up?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. We'll have the Eagles preview later in the week. But what a freaking win, man. All right. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYGDLE. Follow Nick and Nick Zoraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. You know where to find us. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. We'll be back in a couple days. Go Giants.
Go Giants.
Go Giants.